It's straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted that you can be part of the program today. As we do each and every Wednesday, we discuss all things economy with President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, the award-winning Laureen Gilbert. Welcome to the Wealthwise Moment, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here again.
Great to have you back. And as I mentioned off air, you were missed last week. Listeners were calling in. What happened to Laureen? Where's the Wealthwise? So glad you're back this morning. Delighted to have you. Since you've been gone, though, you know, a lot of stuff happens when you're not around. And I'll start it off with this. I'm okay with a solar winds hack, and I'm even whatever with a Colonial Pipeline thing. But when you start attacking my meat plants, now we're talking. So major beef and pork producer JBS USA suffered a cyber attack last week, prompting shutdowns. What does this mean? What does this mean as far as cyber protection for big companies?
Well, cybersecurity has been one of the key initiatives on corporate boards around the globe. Corporate boards have been looking at this, and they are trying to respond. And what we can get out of this, Ed, is that these corporations need to hire the best in the industry in technology to fight on this cybersecurity side. And there are companies. In fact, my back office is in the process of hiring one of those companies right now to beef up our own cybersecurity. Of course, in financial services, we have to use the best when it comes to cybersecurity threats. And you know, unfortunately, in this whole current world that we live in, it's a matter of when, not if, and how do also corporations adjust to that, right? And even with JBS, they said by Wednesday it should be, you know, running again, but it causes a major disruption in these companies.
And what is, as the head of a company with financial services, what is your biggest fear? What if you were attacked? What would be the biggest fear be?
Well, of course, the biggest fear is that client data, personal information, is obtained by an outside party. And that's why in the securities industry, we have so many requirements when it comes to encryption of data, protecting customer information. And we take that very, very seriously. And why it's so important that whoever we clear through, which, you know, we clear through LPL Financial, we need to know that their systems are the biggest and the best in the industry, right? So it's very important, and that's what clients need to be asking those questions of whoever they are working with, their financial advisor. What are the security measures of your custodian, whoever you clear through, to make sure that our data is protected?
Right. And do you foresee cyber protection companies just starting to pop up and booming in the next several years?
Oh, well, they are. Yeah. They're absolutely booming. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the company ExtraHop, but they're one of the key players in that field of cybersecurity.
Okay. Let's talk about CEO pay. It's been in the news for the last, well, forever, really, but it's been specifically in the news the last couple of weeks. Tell us what's up.
So, you know, you can look and see this last year, you know, in the worst event that we've had, really, you know, this pandemic that affected everybody, what happened with CEO pay? And many CEOs were adjusting their pay as a result of the pandemic. But if you really look at, you know, the components of their pay, so they get paid a salary, and then, of course, there's other parts of their CEO pay, which include bonuses and stock and all other kinds of benefits. And when you look at all of that, the majority of CEOs in 2020 actually received higher pay. And so, and then if you also look, there's another level that looks at the amount of CEO pay compared to, you know, everybody else. You know, how much is it more? Like this last year, it was 172 times greater than, you know, kind of the average worker. So that's was also higher than the year before. And so what I would say, you know, some people then say, well, then, you know, CEO pay needs to come down. I say the contrary. I say what that means is that everybody else's pay needs to go up. And I would also say, Ed, that, you know, we're starting to see inflation, and with that, there will be pressure on wages. And what we've seen wage pressure is at that lower end. You've heard about companies, you and I have talked about this, right, starting to pay workers $15 an hour. What does that mean? That means then that the next level of employees want a bump up. So I think we're going to continue to see this kind of pressure upward on wages.
Right. A rising tide lifts all boats.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then let's stay on the CEOs for a second. Some would advocate for a ceiling at some point. And so you don't see there shouldn't be a ceiling for CEO pay anywhere?
I don't believe in a ceiling for CEO pay. I think that their jobs have to be based on performance and how they're doing, and that they are accountable to the board of directors, and either they're fulfilling that role or they're not. And if you look at what happens with CEOs, oftentimes they lose their jobs. No, they may make a lot in a short period of time, then they lose their job, you know, and they're out there looking for another job. And the ones that are long-term and successful, you know, let's use a great example of Jamie Dimon, been around forever at J.P. Morgan, and now they've got two women vying for his position as the next CEO of J.P. Morgan, because he's eventually going to be leaving, probably sooner than later, I would say. But looking at his performance, it's been spectacular. He's deserved the pay that he's given. And look, he's also been a leader in how corporate America can do good in society with all the initiatives that they have. So, no, I think there should not be a limit on CEO pay. It's the private sector. But they should absolutely be held accountable.
Okay. And we mentioned this, and I mentioned this a couple of months ago. I think he's running for office. Once he's out and he's clear and he's taken I think he's running for office.
We'll see. Yeah. That'll be interesting, Ed, to see what happens.
Let's talk about inflation for a second. We discussed the last time you were on the program, inflation here in the United States. But we're seeing that prices are rising quickly across huge swaths of the developed world. And inflation in countries also belonging to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, surging in April to the highest rate since 2008. Connect the dots for us and internationally, sure, what inflation means for us.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the reason for the jump. The reason for the jump has everything to do right now with the supply chain. So there's a backlog on the supply chain because everything was shut down. We had a drastic reduction in demand and supply. And then now there's this, you know, we're back up and running and demand is up and it's hard to get supply back up at the same time. So that will eventually normalize, Ed. But the big question, you know, the big question that everybody's asking is this transitory inflation or is it sustained inflation? And that is true in the United States, and it's true across the globe. And only time will tell. My stance is that I think we're going to have sustained inflation that's higher than we've seen in the past decade. And what that all means for the consumer is that you can expect prices to continue to go up. And whether it's those housing prices or it's the goods at the grocery store or it's cars, and, you know, we had a huge jump. If you look at all the numbers, if you drill down into the numbers of exactly what's risen the most, used car prices have risen the most, over 20%. So if you look at those things, that will all normalize. That was the supply and demand issue that will get normalized. But I do think that we are in this rising. And with that, that kind of goes back to what I was saying about wages. You can't really have sustained inflation unless you have pressure on wages to also go up. And I think that is what we're going to see. And then you've got to see with consumers and, you know, their spending and I think with that, I think all that cash that's been on the sidelines, people start spending that, I think you also see prices rising. So I think there are a number of components when it comes to inflation as well, including labor participation rates, which we know needs to also increase. And I think that will also improve as companies open, people are able to put their kids back in school. Schools open, companies open, mothers can go back to work and put their kids in school. So I think we'll see an improvement there as well.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on it over the next several months. I want to talk about this summer. And are we expecting a summer of volatility?
That's what we're saying, Ed. We expect a little bit of a bumpy ride. And here's the reason why. We've seen a huge run-up in the market. That's been fantastic off those lows off of last March. And we've seen certain areas of the market soar more, right? Last year, we saw all of the what we call the stay-at-home stocks do so well. And now we've seen a rotation in the market. We still see a lot of room to run in the market. Not across the board, not everywhere, but we see room to run in the market. However, markets typically take a breather after seeing such a huge run-up. And I expect that to be this summer, along with investors digesting how it's going with inflation. And also, let's not forget what the Fed is going to do. I think you're going to hear in June from the Fed talking about tapering. They've been talking about tapering. Now they're going to talk about tapering. And then they're actually going to taper. And with that, I think we're going to see a little bit of volatility. Those are opportunities, Ed, for investors to take advantage of that volatility, to go in and take some of that cash that's sitting on the sidelines, to invest on dips, to also reallocate where, you know, we think we need to be going forward.
Okay. It's the buy low, sell high. Thank you.
It is. Yeah. And I'll also just add that I think we're going to end the year higher in the markets than when we are today. And so people always wonder, well, have we, you know, are we done? And I say, no, I don't think we're done. I think we still have room to run, but do expect some short-term volatility.
Fantastic. Laureen, how do we get in touch with you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
And I'll say this, Wednesday mornings are so much better with you giving us the skinny on everything economy-oriented. Laureen Gilbert, President CEO of WealthWise Financial Services. If you're looking for her email address or directions there or phone number, call me here. I got it for you. Laureen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. 8:14 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.